Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Nathan Cruz is no more on WOS Wrestling. I'm Ollie Davis. This is Luke Owen. Welcome to the WOS Review post-show episode of Wrestle Ramble. And yeah, we're kicking off with how the show started. I figured a ladder match with your career on the line is kind of main event worthy. Not WOS. Straight in with Nathan Cruz coming down and starting it.
That's your opener.
Yeah.
And it's been funny as well, because obviously I haven't seen the last couple of weeks, or I've not been around for the last couple of weeks. Crikey, things have changed. These two are feuding now.
Yeah, it's kind of like that Anchorman scene. Wow, things really stepped up a notch.
Yeah, that escalated quickly.
But that's not just for you. That's also kind of for me. I still think that going from the turn last week, so what happened last week is it's the tag team tournament finals, and you've got Kip Sabian and the guy Reese, I can't say the name of, Yestin.
Yestin Reese.
And Nathan Cruz and Adam Maxted, they teased some dissension the week before, and Cruz ends up turning on Maxted when they lose the finals. And the next match, the next week, the opening segment is Nathan, like, both men's careers on the line in a ladder match.
Crikey. But he did say he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, that was interesting. I really hope he doesn't, because, as I said before, Nathan Cruz is just so solid to watch. I just, like, similar to Rampage, maybe it's because they did so much work, good work in NGW, which we used to, like, we watch a lot of, that I'm so invested in those guys anyway. But it was straight in with this. I still feel like this should have been extended over more episodes, and you know, you don't blow the career ladder match stip in your first encounter.
But maybe then that's because I would have thought, like you, they'd have saved that for episode 10. You know, save it for the final episode. You
cliffhanger,
like, yeah. Cliffhanger, that sort of thing there. But maybe they are going to do something that's even bigger than one of them losing their job.
On top of a steel cage.
But I thought this was a really solid match. I really like Nathan Cruz as a promo, and I really like him in ring as well. I thought this was a fun little match.
Well, what was interesting about it is, and it's kind of like when I'm completely different matches, I'm just saying there is a similarity in approach here. When Kenny Omega and Michael Elgin did their ladder match a couple of years ago in New Japan, that was the first ever ladder match in New Japan. And when a lot of people watched it, they were like, huh, well, you know, I've kind of seen all those spots before. And it's like, yeah, because you've been watching ladder matches for decades in WWE and around the scenes. But in New Japan, this is the first time that audience has seen it, so you don't need to go to 11. And that's what, this was almost like a throwback in that you didn't have all the crazy contrived ladder spots. You didn't have like the spinny around helicopter stuff, which is fun. But, you know, it does scream pro wrestling. This was more, it was based around the drama of trying to get to the top. It was very simple, and I really admired it for that.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And they worked around the fact that because it's a primetime show on ITV, you can't show, like, massive ladder bumps and things like that. So they only did two of them, which I thought was really nice. And then the rest of it, they built around stuff that you can show without the constraints of the editing, which is doing springboard drop kicks.
Yes.
And which apparently Maxted loves doing.
Yep, it was at least two I counted.
He bloody loves a springboard dropkick onto a ladder.
I'm surprised, because this has been a very quick turnaround for the feud. From like, you only had babyface elements of Maxted 2 weeks ago and kind of got attacked last week. that the crowd are so invested in him.
They were massively into him. And I thought as well, because maybe it's because he's got the Love Island connection to him. And maybe it's just because I've got that sort of WWE mindset of just like, oh, you're an outsider. Clearly, I'm going to boo you. But he, and I thought he might be booed here as well. He thought, like, if you're going to turn anyone heel, you turn the Love Island guy heel because we're wrestling fans who don't watch Love Island and therefore think it's rubbish. But this really worked.
Yeah, I think this is geared towards a mainstream audience.
Absolutely.
And it makes total sense.
Yep.
To have the Love Island guy. And, you know, he was a wrestler before he went on Love Island.
Yeah.
So he is one of ours first. It's not like Snooki coming in and trying to become a wrestler. Although that was a good match.
She did grand, to be honest.
She did really well.
She was probably the best thing in that match.
Yeah, on WrestleMania that year. Probably there was something else much better. But yes, so it's a good position of Maxted as a babyface. And Nathan Cruz loses. I thought that Cruz was going to win, and you tell the story of Maxted trying to come back. You know, Cruz wins by nefarious means. But again, this is the story of WOS for me. They swerve. They go a different way. They zig when I think they're going to zag.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no problem with either.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I didn't mind Nathan losing, because when you got the heel losing, as he got the promo afterwards with the backstage interview, Rachel Stringer, I think
yes,
her name is.
She's very good.
She's very good. I do apologize for not getting her name 100% correct there. But he did a promo with her afterwards saying that, like, oh, if you think this is the last you're going to see of Nathan Cruz, you're wrong, mate. And I thought it was another really good promo by Cruz. Yeah. I really, really like him on the mic.
Yeah, yeah. And in the ring.
He's just
so solid to watch.
It just reminds you of a couple of weeks ago when we watched the Triple Threat match, and you were like, God, I wish Nathan Cruz was in this match. And then he entered himself in. We're like, oh, brilliant.
Much better.
Lovely stuff.
I just want to see Rampage, Nathan Cruz, and Zach Gibson wrestle three ways for eternity. That's like what the main event scene of NGW, which are a whole base promotion in the UK, were based around. And really, really fun matches. Really, really
Liverpool's
good.
Number one. Love Gibson.
So after this, we had the setup for the main event, which was Justin Sizem going in and going to Stu Bennett saying, I want that shot that I was promised last week for winning. And Stu Bennett's like, okay, you can have a shot at Rampage in a tag match.
Oh, that dastardly Stu Bennett.
I love the way they film their backstage.
Yeah, I really like
segments.
It as well. Yeah, although
it feels so naturalistic.
Although I wish his laptop was on.
His laptop wasn't on, was it?
It wasn't on. It was just a blank screen.
No, well, you know, it could have gone into sleep mode real quick. Stu rules with an iron fist and wants to save power.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to drain the battery.
Save power.
Those are his two. He's so power hungry.
He's holding on to his GM power.
Can't even bear a laptop having the power. He's gone mad with it. So that was booked for the main event. And then we got a four-way now. So that, like in previous weeks, it's been Crater versus two smaller chaps. And this week we had Crater versus three smaller chaps.
They did indeed, yeah.
And I mean, I've said it, Crater isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's not my kind of character. But they cannot do a better job of what they're trying to do with him.
There was a portion during this match. So this was, although we're setting up it's three smaller lads against Crater, it was a fatal four-way.
Mm.
And it just so happens that the three smaller lads kind of like ganged up on Crater more or less to try and sort of take him out.
As you would.
As you would do. But there was a portion of this match, and maybe just because I recently rewatched the film, but there was a part of me that was like, do you remember that bit in Avengers Infinity War where they're all piling on Thanos and like Mantis is trying to make him go to sleep and they're trying to get the glove off him? I was like, this is like that bit in Infinity War.
Mm. Yeah, they have done a good job.
Yeah. He's a good comic book villain.
Mm.
Perhaps it's not for me either.
It's just the athleticism. I think that the days of big men for just big men are gone for me.
Yeah.
I want a big man who can flip.
Well, the bit I enjoyed the most of this match is the bit that Crater wasn't in, which is when it was Robbie X and Gabriel Kidd and Slater just doing their three-way stuff. And I thought the three-way stuff they were doing was awesome. And I'm a big, big fan of Robbie X. I've said it on this show many times, but I'm a massive mark for Robbie X.
And that's why this match is so smart, because you still get a good match because you're giving the match to three other guys and you're still getting Crater over that way because he's outside. And they did a similar thing the other week. Speaking of Robbie X, so the finish of the match, all the smaller chaps pile onto Crater. It's unsure who's won.
Mm.
I think Alex Shane had this great call. It's like, well, we've got a loser, but we don't know who the winner is.
Nice.
I was like, that's such a succinct way of putting it.
Yeah.
And they that like the crowd start going Robbie.
They were chanting for Robbie throughout the match as well. Like, he is really, really over with that crowd.
And you look at the story that they've been telling. It's Crater and Kid.
Yeah.
Crater and Gabriel Kid that's been like the feud, really. But the fact that Robbie is the one getting the cheers, that shows you've got something there.
Yeah.
He's so easy to cheer for.
He really is. But I will say this, I'm very surprised they had Crater lose.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
I thought this was something they were really going to build up to. I think we kind of like fantasy booked it a few weeks ago, where it was like, it would be the sort of the position you want to put Davey Boy Jr. in, where he comes through, and then you can do the big sort of power slam moment, like, you know, the Hogan-Andre thing, where you finally get the man up and power slam down, and that's the first time he's off his feet.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have even had him lose that. I would have had him then get beat by a much smaller guy and do it at the end of the series. So, yeah, I'm not necessarily... I wouldn't have done it that way.
I wouldn't have.
I would have kept Crater strong, even, you know, because that's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Weirdly, though, my favourite match was Grado versus Martin Kirby.
I had so much fun watching this. So I watched this morning. My wife came in about halfway through while I was watching this, and I was in hysterics with Grado and Martin Kirby. The two of them were so funny. And I think it's the sort of thing that snarky fans will hate. It's the sort of match that Jim Cornette would probably hate, and maybe some others. But when they started doing the toothbrush spots, I was laughing so much. I really enjoyed it.
So they built this up last week as the big mystery serious reveal of what's in Grado's bum bag. And me and Laurie laughed about, like, it's a bum bag. And, the finish is Kirby reveals what's in there. It's a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And then
he's going, for brushing me teeth.
Yeah, and he puts it in his armpits and everyone's like, ugh! And then there's this wonderful kind of knife struggle of trying to put the toothbrush in each other's mouth. And then they go for the referee's mouth.
Oh, my God, it was so funny. It was so, like, it's the sort of stuff that William Regal talked about loving.
Oh, yeah.
And Daniel Bryan said it was his favourite time in wrestling when you were doing sort of like the British holiday camps. It really screamed that, but I loved it. I loved every second of it.
I loved it too. But in the end, like, Grado gets the toothbrush in Kirby's mouth, but to protect him, because Kirby then cheated with a roll-up, legs on the ropes to win. I loved it.
Yeah.
But my favourite bit actually was when Kirby couldn't lift Grado for the German.
Yeah.
And Grado's just looking at the crowd going, I don't know why he's trying. Just perfect.
Just shouting again, like, you can give it another try if you want.
Yeah. And then the main event was the Justin Sizem teaming with Joe Hendry.
The prestigious Joe Hendry.
Rampage and Shah Samuels.
Now, so I was at a Rev Pro show last night for their TV tapings, and Shah Samuels was on that TV taping. As soon as he came out, I was like, oh, bloody love you, Shah Samuels.
Yeah,
what a great lad. And I really enjoyed this tag match as well. Mm. Massive, massive fan of Justin Sizem and Joe Hendry. But I love Shah Samuels on Rampage. And I'm like, this is four guys I could really, really like. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, it was just a solid tag match to close. Sizem was worked over for like a lot of the match.
But the majority of the match,
And I thought, okay, he's going to hot tag Hendry. But that was just for Hendry to come in and then get worked over a little bit.
Yeah.
So Sizem recharged in that minute because then he gets hot tagged in and then, you know, he runs wild.
Runs
450
wild,
splash for the win.
And you had
Rampage at the top of the ramp.
CJ Banks on the outside being a pesky little interference. And there was a great call by Shane, Alex Shane, when he was talking about the when they were beating down Justin Sizem. It was like, this is basically a 2-on-1 match because Joe just can't get in here. And then CJ Banks was interfering. And they were like, well, now it's a 3-on-1 match, which is really good stuff.
But that keeps telling the story of Rampage and Sizem. Although, you know, Joe Hendry, I think Series 2, he's so over.
So over.
That he needs to get inserted into that top title picture.
And Justin Sizem doing a massive 450 splash is so impressive.
Yeah. There's, as Laurie said last week, there is no room for error. He is down by the time he's like 449.
Yeah.
His legs are already on the mat.
So I don't know if I've told you this actually, but just before I went on holiday, I rewatched an episode of WOS with my brother.
Okay.
And my wife was obviously in the ring. It's while we were packing up our stuff to go on holiday. And my brother was so impressed with Justin Sizem. Like, he's not a wrestling fan, but as soon as he saw him, he's like, wow, he's cool. And then he does his big, like, his finishing move, but I was like, wow, that's really awesome.
Yeah, Sizem just carries himself like a superhero.
Yeah.
It's remarkable, his physicality, the way he embodies it. But yes, that's this week's, that's episode 7 in the books. Will Ospreay is on next week's show, so let's look forward to that.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.